get it printed again, but we're just going on with that part one of the rejection that we had. Now, we talked about rejection and what it was in the sense of what it does to us. Now, let's look at the fact that there are symptoms. You know, there's a strange phenomena, but our human mind and has a way of putting things back, you know, in our subconscious, and things that have happened before that really bothered us, and sometimes we just don't think it really affected us at all. It's gone. But the phenomena of it is that it does affect us without us fully knowing and realizing. You might say, well, I know we took this little thing last week where you were trying to see if you were feeling a bit rejected, the fear, because it is a fear. It's one of the fears of life, fears of being rejected. You see it in little children all the time, don't you? This last week, Mrs. She's been with her two grandchildren, and, you know, they'll play with you a little while, but then there comes something there, that little fear, where's Mama at? Where's Mama? You know, and then I notice with Jennifer's little boy, he will play all over, and then finally he comes over, gets hold of his mother, hugs her and kisses her, goes back to play. Then a little while later, he'll come back and hug her and kiss her. And, you know, that's the sense the child is attaching to the parent. And that means that that's growing within them, the realization that they are accepted, that they really belong. And that really helps the child as they develop. But sometimes this doesn't happen. Sometimes, you know, But sometimes as a parent, you have to realize that my disposition, my tendencies, may not always be that of an attentive, loving parent. I may be a person that's all business, and I'm off to business. And so many times when your children feel, when you don't realize it, but they feel a sense of rejection. And that goes on. And it happens so many times when they're young, because it's not that you don't love them, but you just don't seem to know how to attach to them. You seem to get in your mind, I feed them, and I clothe them, and I take care of them. But those are, in a sense, the non-essentials, but they are essential, but truly non-essential to the rest of your child's life, as it is to feel that they have that attachment with you, that they feel like they belong, and that they are a part of you. So it is something that affects us all the rest of our life many times. Anyway, now I want you to notice there are some things that we don't realize. Like, that's what I was trying to tell you. Like you say, I have difficulties making decisions. Now, why do we have difficulty making decisions? For some people, they just can seem to make them right off the top of their head. They may not always be the right ones, but they seem to be able to just make them off the top of their head. So why is it that I have difficulties in making decisions? Could it be that we don't realize it, but in our thinking, if I make the wrong decision, they'll reject me? You see? If I make the wrong decision, they're not going to like it. They're not going to accept me. They're going to push me aside. So many times we don't even realize, but we do have that spirit, it's hard for me to make a decision. But we don't really realize sometimes why it is. And it is because we're fearful of being rejected by the decision that we make. So that's why those who have a very good self-image that has not had rejection can make decisions right off the top of their head many times, because they're not really worried whether you want to accept it or not. But there's many of us that do. Then anxiety. I have real apprehension when someone says, trust me. I think I had that last week. But trust me. In other words, if you don't come up to their mark, trusting them, then you're afraid they won't accept you. So some people feel that way. Sometimes depression. And it's not, I'm not talking about clinical depression now. I'm not talking about even that which is disabling. I'm just talking about feeling depressed. All of us have had times when we felt depressed. Sometimes, why do they do that? My heart feels so heavy because somebody has pushed me out. You know? It's sometimes a very immediate reaction. Sometimes when we go home, we think about it. But we feel just depressed and come home from a dinner with some friends. And somehow, I felt like one of them seemed to push me down. They just said something that hurt me deeply. And it was a sense of rejection from them. And I feel very depressed. So sometimes our depression may come from that kind of thing. Sometimes it's the fact that we can't trust people anymore because we're afraid they'll leave us. Somebody has left us. Somebody very, very real in our lives, very important in our lives has walked out and left us. And so we got to the place then that we just feel like we're fearful to trust because I've already been rejected. And if I trust someone else and then they reject me. So sometimes people go through life never trusting anyone, never really again attaching to anyone because of that fear of rejection. And then of course, the bitterness. I harbor bitter feelings toward those who reject me. Now, I know what this is because I have felt this many times. When people reject you, you feel bitter about it. Why do they reject me? Why? What's happening here? And sometimes we feel bitter toward God for allowing it. That's how sincere the sense of being rejected can be in our life. I live in fear of being rejected again. And this is why so many people are people who are very distant. You ever find somebody, I just can't seem to get near them. They just won't seem to let me in. Many times it's because they have been rejected. And now they're fearful that they'll be rejected again. And then there's the guilt. The guilt that says, I feel so bad about myself. No wonder I was rejected. You see, we can turn it in on ourselves then. It's my fault. If we're a person that is very low self-esteem and a person that guilt plays a big part in their lives, this becomes one of those things where when I am rejected, I felt like I deserved it because I'm really nothing. And so that's the way some people, their rejection comes out. Even when others, and the next thing is not knowing how to love. Rejection can keep you from understanding what true love is. Inability to accept love then. When we've been rejected by someone who loves us, even if others say they love me, I know it's not true. They're not willing to love again. They don't trust anyone because when I've been told that you love me and then you've left me, now it's that rejection is just there. And so when others say to me, I love you, in your heart you say, I don't trust them. I don't think they do. They would just leave too, you know? Sometimes it makes us inferior. When people reject us, we begin to say, I'll never measure up. What's wrong with me? Something's wrong that I never measure up. People just don't seem to, you know, this is a heart-wrenching thing among people that have been so rejected. And still rejected. Let me tell you, there are oogles of people, if there's such a word. There's oogles of people right around us that people have so rejected that they have turned their lives outward to things that are wrong. I one time had a phone number for the pedophiles. You could tell them where you lived. They would tell you how many pedophiles, even name them, around your area. Well, one of my friends lives in Fort Lauderdale. She has a little girl. The little girl is an over-friendly little girl. She talked to anybody. She tries to get out. When she was young, she tried to get over the fence. She found her over the fence talking to a couple workers there. Just a little thing. And so I looked it up and I saw 300 pedophiles, men that have been reported and names are there in that area. 300. And you think, why do they do this? And sometimes I wonder if rejection is one of the elements that makes a part of this. When men are rejected, maybe they're rejected by a woman, particularly the mother, they should have loved them. Maybe they're rejected by society itself, and so they turn to something that is less, that's innocent, that cannot hurt them, cannot harm them, and abuse them. You just never know. So a lot of times, these things of rejection can be a detriment to our society, because when, I've said it before several times, all of these mass murders that's been done, where 30 were killed in Virginia, and, you know, that kind of thing, they were done by loners, people who didn't feel like there was anybody else. And this is the way they ended up. They'll show the world. They'll be great one time, at least. They'll be in the paper and in the news. But you think of it. You look at the backgrounds of most of these that have had these, the poor Korean boy. Didn't know how to express himself. Didn't know how. He was very hurt. Somehow he was a hurt boy. But then he went and killed 30 people. So you see, some of these things that we think they don't hurt. Listen, let me tell you, these hurts, and that's one of the reasons why I went into this. I felt God wanted me to, because I knew what it was to be hurt myself. And there were many things I wanted to find out for myself, not for other people altogether. And so as I have been able to open up and expand, it has really helped me in many areas. Rejection was a big one for me. When people would reject me, I would resent it. And then I would get depressed, and then I feel sort of guilty. And so that's why we need to recognize what this is in our life. Self-condemnation. I feel terrible. I know I'm to blame whenever I'm rejected. Somebody, they put in a report, and it's rejected. And they'll say, I know. That's just the way it is. I know it's my fault. And then sometimes they just resign to it. They'll just say, whatever will be. So why try? And in some senses, that's where I think some of these kids and some of these people have killed so many people. I think of those two boys in Calabine. I think of those two boys that both of them have been rejected by their friends. They had had troubles and problems. The one boy had really been pretty good for a while, but somehow he got this feeling. The two of them, as they worked together, here they were, I believe, in the place of resignation, because they were willing to kill and then kill themselves. You see, this is sometimes what happens. Whatever will be, so why try? So then get back at the world. What are some of the outward causes of this? There are causes. Abandonment. A feeling of being forsaken because someone special is no longer there for you. Now, this can happen. I remember I had a teacher, sixth grade teacher. She was a Methodist preacher's wife. I was always a little tomboy, and I liked to try everything, and I could get in trouble easily. And so when I was in the sixth grade, there was a gang. I lived in the inner city. And there was a gang of girls that were sort of like a gang back then. And I started getting mixed up with them in sixth grade. And the Methodist preacher's wife saw it. And she knew my mother, and she knew my mother was a Christian and so forth. So she began to take special interest. She'd always have something for me to do. She would always be, until I learned to love her. I didn't care about the others then. I didn't go out with the gang. I stayed there, and it was just the thing I needed in the sense of drawing me away from that. But when she sort of went her own way after I left the class and so forth, oh, I felt abandoned, because I loved her so much, and she meant so much to me. You know, and then if you have this several times, that's no great event, like a mother leaving you or something. But it was an abandonment to me. because that woman was really caring and she loved me and I loved her. And I found, and it really did make me feel something, and it hurt me. So some of these things, it may not be great abandonment, but it may be you have a friend. And you've been, you know, you have to realize in life, you only meet a few, how would you say it, best friends. A few friends that you just understand each other, that you can be part for days or months or years, and when you get back together, it's like you've never been apart from each other. You send cards or any whatever. And it's just one of those that just seem like the harmony between you. You don't have them very often, but every once in a while you do. And when sometimes a friend like that abandons you, it really leaves a hole in the heart. And this thing can really, depending on you, on the type of personality you are, tendencies you have, it can really crush you until you don't want friends anymore. So this is the type of thing, the abandonment. Sometimes adoption does it. Sometimes being cast away, feeling worthless because you were in the way. And let me tell you, there are many little children today that feel worthless because they're in the way. I think of many of these people that's drug addicts, women that are drug addicts, that are alcoholics. And I think of their little children who they abuse many times and show no love to. And it really boggles my mind how a little child can be brought up like that. But they are, and they're by the hundreds that come out like that. And we see then that they are being cast away. They have the feeling that they're not wanted, which is one of the main characteristics that we need, or one of the main needs that we have, is to be wanted. They don't feel wanted. Can you understand why we're having so many social problems in some areas? Because these children grow up not to be productive most of the time, unless somebody saves them along the way. But they grow up to get into the same thing until it becomes a cycle in the lives of those people. My mother and I, my mother worked with the inner city people. She pastored there. She knew, she had a lot of them. And I could see them, some of them three generations on welfare. Three generations on welfare. Big boys. I knew their sons. They went to church. They grew up in the church. Big men still on welfare. Why? Because in a sense, the way they grew up with some of the rejections they must have felt, they didn't feel that capability of getting out and being productive. So sense of rejection, childhood abuse, sexual abuse, disapproval. Now, this is one of the things that we don't recognize, but disapproval to a person makes you feel like like a child with a parent, like you've been deserted, you know? You feel like there's flaws in you because it seems like you never can meet up to their expectations. In some of the best homes, with the best things in the home, with everything that you would want, there are children that feel like that they don't meet up to this. Sister does, but I don't. Or my cousin does, but I don't. And that feeling of rejection, no matter how much you have, that feeling of rejection can bring that child into manhood with a feeling of being rejected until they can get themselves, into lots of trouble. Anyhow, of course, divorce. Some people say divorce doesn't hurt children. Don't you believe it? And the psychologists, the sociologists, all of them will tell you that there's not a child that's ever gone through a divorce that in some way it hasn't harmed them. It has to. It has to. The fact is that even though you may not like your father, he may even beat you. He may be mean to you. And at the time you feel like you hate him, but then there's something in you that wants to know more about your father, that sometimes even goes back to your father, that sometimes even protects your father when your mother and your father are divorced. So you see, within a child, these elements that goes on, they feel that they've been deserted by their dad or been deserted by their mother. And so they have that feeling of rejection many times by one of the parents. Domestic violence. I never quite understood why a woman that's gone through domestic violence gets a divorce, marries another man, and he treats her the same way. You'll find that so many times. That a woman that's been abused, a woman that's been beaten, when she marries again, she gets another man that abuses her and beats her. And I've often wondered about, I have no facts, I have no studies on this, but I often wonder if it isn't something in the woman that feels, that makes a man feel that he can beat her. That may sound funny, but let me tell you, I really have to say that through the years, because I've met so many people and things, that I really try to treat people as a person. I don't care what station of life you're in. I try to treat you as a person. I don't look down on you. I don't command anything from you. But one man, to this day, I can't understand it. But this young man had been on drugs. He was off of them now. He had gone to Bible college. He now wanted to go to the mission fields. And I was second in command at the mission department. I thought, he may not be the greatest candidate, but let us give him a try. He really wants to go. He wanted to go to Taiwan and to China, and he went to both places. But you know what? I caught myself talking down to that boy, looking down on him, not because he had been a drug addict, but because there was something in him that made you feel like he was lower. He was, that's why I say I can't even tell you, express it to you. But what I'm saying is there was something in that boy that brought out that kind of expression in me. I did sort of talk down to him till I caught myself and realized. But I used to think to myself, why did I do that to him? And then I recognized that he was such a beaten character. That his very attitudes, his very spirit was one that made you look down on him, made you talk down to him. And I thought about that. And I think sometimes I wonder if that isn't what happens to abuse women. That they've been abused so much that they've accepted it in the sense of being abused. And then when they marry again, there's just something in them that seems to make a man feel he can do it again. Now, I don't know. There's no scientific thing for that. But sometimes I wonder in this thing called divorce, this thing called abuse. So there's many things that we can feel. Sometimes we over-control. We feel powerless because you're individual, you're denied. So you feel powerless. They won't allow you to be yourself. They've rejected you. At work. I don't think there's anything that probably brings a person down much more than being rejected, feeling powerless to be able to do something that you know that is best. I had a friend in Taiwan. Lewis was a very brilliant man. He was a scientist. He worked in Henshin, whatever that place is. It's a scientific lab there that in Taiwan, a very big place. So when he got in there, he thought there was an experiment that they had tried, but no one had made a success of it. It was something they knew that could heal breast cancer. They knew it worked, but it took so long for that plant to grow that it just wasn't worthwhile. They just couldn't make enough. It took too long. So I guess they had tried to make a synthetic one. No one could do it. So finally, he said, I decided that's what I was going to try. And he said, I began to work on it, prayed and asked the Lord to help me. And as he worked on it, he was able to do it. He made a synthetic plant, whatever comes out of the plant or whatever, chemical from the plant. But his boss took the credit. His boss owned it. And he knew it was him. And you know, though Lewis tried very hard, and he did overcome a lot of it, but you know, Lewis never got over it. It was a very hard thing for Lewis. He eventually left there, and he's been trying some other jobs and so forth. But let me tell you, when you know that there's something that is yours, and somebody pushes you down from the top and rejects you, and there isn't a thing you can do about it, it becomes a real bruise in your emotions. So this can also do it. Sometimes performance-based acceptance, when only you're accepted by what you do. You're only accepted if you are able to, what shall I say, be number one. That you're able to be the doctor mama wants, or the lawyer mama wants, or daddy wants. That whatever you do, it has to be because that's when you find your self-confidence. That's when you find your self-worth is in what you do. So then if you don't do, it has the opposite effect on you. And this can be very detrimental. So these are some of the things. And next week we will be talking. I'm going to come to the second part where we can begin to see a little more and how we can come out of this. But I want you to understand this thing called rejection really is real. It's detrimental. It's something we must overcome. I thank God he's helping me more. He has helped me so wonderful to overcome it. So I know we can overcome it. And if it creeps up again, I just give it back to him. So next week as we go on, as we come, we'll work on that. So this is what I have today, and this is about all I can do today. When I preach and teach, I have to tell you, the old woman doesn't really feels it. She really feels it. So thank you for coming, and now you can go get some coffee before the rest. Bless you. Thank you for taking this back.
Well, girls, you take care now.
Thank you.